الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah. We praise Him and we send the peace and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Sheikh of the Masjid, he's been on a particular, he's been traveling on a particular path, trying to stir the emotions of the Muslims. Alaykum salam. Man, I thought it was a policeman. Trying to stir the emotions of the Muslims. Because what happens is we often forget, right? We forget and the heart becomes hard. Heart? This is among the things that harden the heart. Just a sample. No problem, Sheikh. We still love you. But inshallah, try to get the tirrin tirrin. It's much better. Hey, no problem, sir. In or out?
Out.
Okay. We want in, Malish. And the reason why is because there's two things here. There's two concerns that each one of us has. One for the hereafter and one for the world. One for the hereafter, one for the world. Depending on which one is stronger, our hearts will also be the same. If the concern is more towards the world, from better job, more money, nicer car, nicer whatever, a second wife if you have one already, or maybe more, or first wife if you're not married at all, whatever, we have concerns regarding this world. The more we are concerned about them and becoming more distracted away from the obligations, the more the heart will be hard. And the more we are concerned about the hereafter, it doesn't mean that you ignore the necessity of the world for making money and protecting yourself and enjoying your life and having a wife and children. No, nothing wrong with that, as long as it doesn't become your major concern. So the more the person is concerned about the hereafter, the more the heart will be soft. This is why the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they were some strong men. Very strong men. Yet they used to cry all the time. They were crying all the time. Ibn Abbas, they say that the skin under his eye used to be so bad because of the tears. It's always wet. That the skin under his eyes was damaged. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to have two black lines on his face from crying often. And Abu Bakr, when he would lead the people in the salah, no one would be able to understand anything because he'll be crying the whole prayer. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, surprise, it's Ali al-Azlani. No time to shake hands, man. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I gotta give him a hard time. This is my best friend. Then Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he would go to the grave, to visit the grave, he would cry until his beard, which is an indication that we should have one, if the hair does grow. Some people don't have any hair growing, ma'lish. But if we do have the ability, if hair grows and you leave it alone, you need to leave it alone. This is an Islamic obligation, and going against that is a forbidden act, which is a sin. And I'm not going to go into the details of the fatwa of letting the beard grow. Nonetheless, it's an indication Uthman radiallahu anhu had a beard also, just like the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr and Umar and everybody who followed the Prophets and the Messengers, because this was among their qualities. Until the tears would make it to his beard. And they will say, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, O leader of the believers, When paradise and hellfire are mentioned in front of you, you don't cry. But when you come to the grave, you start crying. He said, I do so because I heard the Prophet ﷺ said that the first stage among the stages of the hereafter is the grave. Yani the hereafter, it is related, very much related to death. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Waalaikum salam, ahla wa sallam. He said, if the grave is good, if your condition in the grave is good, then everything that will come after will be good. And if it's bad, then everything that will come after will also be bad. So the grave is the first stage of the hereafter. Because there's no more amal, no more deeds. Once you die, you can't do nothing anymore. Unless you had prepared in this dunya. Maybe you gave da'wah. You invited someone to Islam. And they became a Muslim through your effort. While you are dead, every time they perform an act of worship, you get an equal reward as theirs. If they teach this to someone else, then you have two. If they teach it to three, three. And so forth. While you are dead. This is among the ways where you could have an investment after death. Otherwise, for you to do salah, no more. For you to fast, no more. But you may teach someone. That's why da'wah is very important. That's why knowledge is very important. That's why whenever we have the opportunity to attend the lecture, to come to the da'wah here, da'wah office, and learn something, we should not forsake something like a cup of tea, or some chicken, or anything else. Which may be good, but if you're going to weigh them on the scale, huge difference. Because this may go for a long, for until the day of judgment. Someone may continue benefiting from one statement you said. Of course, you seeking the pleasure of Allah, not seeking the people. Until the day of judgment, one statement you say, people keep benefiting from it, you keep getting an equal reward. So this is the condition of the grave. Now, this is the introduction in terms of the heart being soft. The more we are concerned about the hereafter, the more our heart will be soft. The more we are concerned about the dunya, the world, and everything that is related from the headache of the world that we're living in, the more the hearts will be hard. The Shaykh is trying to soften the hearts of the Muslims. That's why you see some people crying. That's why you see him crying. Because usually when he's discussing other subjects, he is not in this condition. Not that much actually. And he's dealing with our brothers in Palestine. Now you may know, you may not know, of course this is another country, it's not really your background. But the brothers in Palestine have been suffering for a number of years. And we discussed this in the khutbah before actually, because this is the second time he discusses this issue in particular. Trying to remind the brothers, specifically the Qita' of Gaza, which is a particular area in Palestine, where the people, the inhabitants of the city have been locked in and surrounded, where they're unable to live a normal life. Like right now, if you want to go to Riyadh, you go. If you want to go to any place you want, no one's stopping you. These people, Waalaikum salam, ahlan wa sahlan. These people in their own country, they are unable to go from a place to another. Because the Israelis have set up blocks and walls and armies and what have you. And basically the Prophet ﷺ said, the example of the believers in terms of love and caring and kindness is like the one body. One body. If one part aches, is hurting, then the rest of the body is there to help, support, and to feel the pain. Tayyib. And what is intended by that, if you visualize it in a physical sense, if your arm is hurting, what would your focus be? Your focus would be on the pain. You wouldn't say, well, my other hand is good, and my other leg is good, and my back is good, and only my hand is hurting. Naturally, you will be concerned about the pain. If somebody asks you, how are you doing? And say, alhamdulillah, but my hand hurts. Right? That's just nature. And likewise, some of the Muslims today are preoccupied with nothing. While there are Muslims in the world suffering, and I'm not freeing myself from this. Every one of us is probably guilty to a certain extent in terms of us being concerned about things that are unimportant. While we have Muslims who are in need of our help, whether financially or physically, or at least dua, supplicate. Ask Allah to give them victory. Ask Allah to aid them. Ask Allah to give them patience, because they're suffering. And every time the Jews feel like doing so, they just drive with a fly with a plane, drop a bomb, destroy someone's house. And the Sheikh was being graphical, describing the condition. He said, while you are with your children, and while you are with your wives, and while you are with your family, enjoying yourself in peace and security, there are other people, other Muslims over there, with the children crying, no food to eat, no roof to remain under, no protection from the cold or the weather. This is the reality of many Muslims now, in many countries in the world, even maybe in the Philippines, in certain areas. So no Muslim land is free from some sort of suffering. And what is our obligation towards them? Do we not care? According to an athar, which is related to the Prophet ﷺ, I don't know about this authenticity, whomever does not care, alaykum salam, whomever does not care about the affair of the Muslims, he is not one of them. Whomever does not care about the affair of the Muslims, he is not one of them. So we should care. And caring is at levels. Each should help according to the ability. Each one of us should help according to the ability. So those with the ability to go and help, they go and help. Those with the finance and the ability to help in a financial aspect, then they should do so. Those who have no means to help, but themselves need help, then at least they make dua for them. And they supplicate and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant them victory and to give them patience. These are people who have been suffering in or out. Too much distraction. Oh, it's you, young man. Come in, Habibi. Oh, you took someone with you. What kind of business is this, man? Allahu musta'an. Tayyib. So we should help them in one way or another. This is really what the khutbah was about. The way I feel, and I may be wrong, the Shaykh is just trying to stir our emotions. He's trying to wake us up. It's an indirect way to remind ourselves about our obligations towards our Muslim brotherhoods. Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أُخْوَى. Verily, the Muslims, the believers, are one brotherhood. It doesn't matter race, ethnicity, skin color, whether your hair is straight or curly, whether you have blue eyes or brown, whether you're tall or short, and whatever distinctions that the people have nowadays, in which they believe that they're superior to you or inferior depending on where they come from. Islamically, this is really not the case. What matters is that we are one brotherhood. And you treat your brother as your brother, even if he was disabled. Right? If he was your blood brother. Even if he looked different. You don't say, well, no, you don't look like everybody else in the family, so I'm not going to help you. If he's your brother in blood, you're going to support him no matter what he looks like. Brotherhood in faith is stronger, way stronger than the brotherhood in the blood. Because when you became a Muslim, everybody who's a Muslim became your brother. And the brotherhood you have with your brother is really nothing. Because on the day of judgment, each one of you will run away from the other. He will run away from himself. I don't know you, don't know me. Everybody will be concerned. Each person will have on that particular day an affair of his own to keep him sufficient from people. I don't need no one. So this is the reality of the subject matter. And when Nuh alayhi salam, when his son didn't believe, when his son refused to believe, Allah told him, he is not from your family. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ. Subhanallah. When the son of Noah didn't believe, and he asked Allah, he said, oh Allah, you promised me that you will save my family. And my son, he's from my family. And you promised that you will save my family. Allah responded to him and said, he is not from your family. He is not a good deed. He is not a righteous person. He is not a believer. So Allah denied the sonhood of the son of Noah to his father, because he was a believer and the son was a disbeliever. So now the relationship of the father and son became equal to nothing. So much so that he was among those who drowned, and Nuh was among those who saved. And he will be in the fire, and Nuh will be in paradise. And this is the reality of the situation. This is an indication why the brotherhood of Islam is important. And so whenever we can help in any shape or form, we should not hesitate. and try to occupy ourselves with the things that will keep our hearts soft. Because too much talking, from experience everybody knows this, too much talking about nothing will get your heart hard. And if your heart hards, it sucks. Life sucks. Ibn al-Qayyim said, the son of Adam, the believer, is not afflicted with any calamity. Nothing is worse than a heart that is hard and being distant from Allah. That's the worst thing on the planet. That's why you see a lot of the people in the masjid today, from their salah, you can tell that they are on vacation. Anyone who prays while he's looking at you is automatically distant from Allah. No way. In the virtuous act of worship of prayer, you are standing looking at the people. No way. It just doesn't, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't click. It doesn't click. What we are supposed to do in the salah is we're supposed to be in a state of humbleness. Whether it appears on you outwardly or whether it does not, this is from the knowledge of Allah. You may have khushu' and it doesn't appear. What matters is, if you don't have khushu' outwardly, then there's no way there's khushu' inside. You may have khushu' and people don't know it. But if you're acting in a way where it's clear you don't have khushu', there's no way you have khushu'. This is an indication that the heart is not working out too well. And each one of us can test himself. If you find himself in your salah looking around, you need to double check. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Waalaikum salam, ahla wa sahla. If you find yourself in the salah looking around at people, then reconsider your situation. Say, hold on, there must be something wrong in my iman. I must be doing something wrong. I must correct something. Because iman indicates that you feel in the salah a special feeling, that you are standing in front of Allah and you are supplicating to Him, and Allah sees you and hears you and knows about you. These are very valuable things that if your heart was alive, it cannot ignore. You cannot ignore them and just act like, well, it's just whatever, it's a regular thing, right? So this is just a final reminder, and the khutbah was about that, pretty much summarized, dealing with the brotherhood in Islam and aiding our brothers in whatever means possible, so on the Day of Judgment we will have an excuse with Allah. If Allah asks us, what were you doing when these Muslim brothers of yours have been suffering for years and all of us live in the neighboring countries and nobody does absolutely nothing for them, then we better have an excuse. And each person has his own responsibility. The leaders have a responsibility different than those who are in the government, different than those who are some authority, different than the average people like us. Everyone will be held accountable according to what Allah's justice, and Allah's the most just, when Allah knows what each person is supposed to do. Many of us can't do much. But there are things that we can do that we do not do. We need to find out what they are, and the least of them is dua, supplication, and we need to do that, rather than being concerned with other unimportant things. Any questions? No, this is in the dua. Basically he's asking Allah to aid the Muslims and give him patience in every land. And he enumerates them. This is what they always make in the dua. You hear the supplication at the end of the khutbah. Basically the summary of the supplication is asking Allah to grant the Muslims victory, to give them patience, to grant them the quick victory over those who are trying to kill them, to keep them firm on the deen, to rectify their conditions and what have you. And they mention certain countries where it is known that Muslims are suffering in these countries. So he may mention Sudan and other countries of that such. Brother Ali was reminding us that the Shaykh gave a reminder to the students who will be going to school for examinations, that they need to depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supplicate to Him to give Him tawfiq, and they need to rely on Him and they need to remember Allah often, stay away from anything that may distract them in terms of preparing for exams. Anyone has exams tomorrow? That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's all.
Yes. Yeah.
But the rest of the guys, they are
the same
obligation.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. So that's what it is. Any other questions?
I
والله I'm hot.
No ventilation. You're killing us.
No, خلاص, we're done.
They have this class.
Anyone? خلاص, go. Salam alaikum.
Salam.
Waalaikum salam. Subhanakallah. Bihamdika. La ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.